Welcome to Behold and Become, a podcast about faith with me, Robert Black. I hope that you all are doing well. No, I am not bringing back Behold and Become on a permanent basis, but as I mentioned, from time to time, I will be releasing some content as I'm able to. There was a conversation on Reddit not too long ago about podcasts in the Anglican and Episcopal world, and someone mentioned Behold and Become as a recommendation, and one person mentioned to me how much they appreciated the series that I did a year or two ago in Advent, taking a look at the Advent characters. Well, this Holy Week, all of the sermons that I am preaching are focusing in on one character in each sermon. And here at my parish, we do a very robust Holy Week. We have lots of liturgies. And so there are 9 sermons that I'm preaching this week. One of them is the Easter Vigil. And so it doesn't quite focus in on just one character, but there are the eight other sermons, though, really sort of consider the events of Holy Week through just one character on each day. So in a similar vein to that Advent series I did a couple of years ago, I thought that this Holy Week series on the characters of this week might be of interest to you all. So I will be sharing those sermons on this podcast feed as they are preached and become available. But know that I appreciate your listening and look forward to continuing to release episodes and series from time to time when I am able to. Hope that you all have a blessed Holy Week. O God, you are so often found in silence. Help us to watch and wait as the faithful myrrh bearers did at the tomb of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 62 opens with, "For God alone my soul in silence waits." One mystic has said that the purpose of spoken prayers is to take us to a place of deep silence with God. When the prophet Elijah was waiting for a word from the Lord, we are told the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. Silence, though, is hard for us. We have background music in our restaurants, elevators, and while on hold on the phone. It's not until we go intentionally to be somewhere remote that we realize just how noisy the world is. There is something sacred and holy about watching and waiting in silence. Once the prayers have all been uttered, we wait. This is the witness of the holy myrrh bearers, the women who came to the tomb on Easter morning to anoint the body of Jesus. Matthew records them as Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And they are the characters on which we focus on this Holy Saturday. Yes, I am aware that the most important actions that were happening this day happened in hell, as Christ was harrowing it. I have preached on that aspect of Holy Saturday before. What Jesus did in his descent into death and hell is truly saving and amazing. But this year I want to focus on what happened on earth, which was the holy waiting by these faithful women. Matthew records that as Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body of Jesus from Pilate, and it was granted him, and he laid it in a tomb, the two Marys were there, sitting opposite the tomb. They were witnesses to all of the happenings of Friday. Though the disciples had fled and hid, they kept faithful vigil. The Marys saw the excruciating death of their friend and rabbi. They watched as his lifeless body was lowered from the cross. They saw the tears and the heartache of his mother. And they saw Joseph lay him in a tomb.
And this means that when they came to the tomb on Sunday morning, they knew exactly where to go. It makes their watching makes their witness all the more reliable. They did not go to the wrong tomb on Sunday morning and find it empty. No, they knew exactly where Jesus had been laid. It tells us the importance of staying and waiting. Because so often we just move from one thing to the next. We skip the credits. We don't sit through the voluntary at church. We multitask with several projects at once. But sometimes we miss out on what God would have us to see when we don't just sit and pay attention, absorbing what is happening right in front of us. These women watch and wait. They don't see Jesus die and then sulk away, thinking the story is finished. They stay and wait. And that prepares them, even if unknowingly, to be the discoverers of the resurrection. Even when we are not sure what we are doing, God is preparing us for mission. Now, there's a rather obvious question that comes up on Easter morning. Why, if Joseph of Arimathea had already wrapped and anointed the corpse of Jesus, did the women come back on Sunday morning? Anointing the dead was a one-and-done sort of thing. Once the tomb had been sealed, there was not an expectation that you would go back 3 days later and open it up again. If that was the plan, why seal it with such a large stone that you wouldn't even be sure that you can move out of the way? It's not so much that the Marys planned to return and anoint Jesus after the Sabbath, but they had to. They had witnessed how Jesus was prepared for his burial, hastily. Scripture tells us that it was almost the time of the Sabbath, a time when everyone stopped and from work and rested. There was barely any time to properly anoint Jesus. In fact, Marys had noticed that Jesus was not properly anointed. He was not given the care that they would have given him. They knew the importance of Sabbath rest, and they waited, which is a lesson to those of us who do not know how to take a day off. But they knew, as soon as the Sabbath was over, they would go to the tomb and give their friend the burial he deserved. It is not unlike our custom today of leaving flowers at the grave of a loved one. Now, anointing, it was both a practical and a religious act. It was practiced because bodies back then were not embalmed, and as they decayed, they stunk. Anointing with aromatic spices helped with the smell. But the anointing also had personal and religious significance. It was a way to show love. Womanist theologians are scholars who help us to read scripture through the lens of being both black and female. One such theologian notes that enslaved black women so deeply identify with Jesus because they knew Jesus deeply identified with them. Just as Jesus was rejected, assaulted, abused, and ridiculed, so were they. Jesus was a companion in their objectification, degradation, and suffering. The Marys likely knew a similar life experience, and so they came to honor one of their own, a fellow sufferer. And they honored him with a proper burial. Scripture tells us that they used myrrh, a rare spice valued at roughly $4,000 a pound in today's dollars. In Jesus' time, myrrh was more valuable than gold. Sure, it might seem extravagant to spend that much money on a corpse, but their action shows us that no act of love is ever wasted. Yes, on the Sabbath, they rested. But they knew what they would do as soon as the Sabbath was over. They would come and finish the job of burying their friend. They show us the importance of ritual. If they had said, well, done is good enough, they would have missed out on Easter morning. Rituals matter, whether that's the liturgies of the church, family dinners, standing meetings with friends, the holy rhythms of life. set us up to pay attention to the things that matter most. And all of this happens because the Marys, the holy myrrh bearers, waited in silence. They watched what happened. They did not leave too early, and they saw the tomb where Jesus was laid. They saw that more anointing needed to be done, and they resolved to do that holy work of love. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary kept vigil as they watched and waited. Through our rituals and traditions, we do the same. Holy Saturday is often overlooked, but there are blessings to receive in silent waiting. Their witness to us is an encouragement for us to linger, to tarry just a little bit longer, to slow down, to be silent. And this is what we will gather to do later today. We will gather to keep vigil, to wait for the moment when, like these faithful Marys, we too shall witness the resurrection of our Lord.